Pasuk tells us in this coming week's parsha that describes an animal that has a physical deformity that renders it unfit to be used as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, is an animal that is ma'uch v'chasus v'nasuk v'charus, which means that his genitals have become bruised, crushed, torn, or cut, is disqualified from being used as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. Then the Torah continues, uva'artzechem lo isasu, that in your lands this should not be done. Ki mashchasem bohem mum bum, you are destroying that animal. Lo yiratzu lochem, and it's not pleasant, or it's not this is not fit to be brought to our Kadosh Baruch Hu either in the Beis HaMikdash. However, the Sifra comments on this pasuk, lo yisakrivu, ein li elish shlo yakrivu. I only see from here that this can, kind of animal cannot be offered as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. Minayin shlo yasu, how do you know that you shouldn't do this in the first place? Even outside of the context of offering karbonas, Talmud Lomar lo yisasu, the pasuk says, uva'artzechem lo yisasu, this should not be done in your lands. Ein li ela behema, I only see from here a behema which can be used as a carbon. Chayev va'oif, is it permitted for one to remove the reproductive organs from a chayev va'oif? Talmud Lomar ba'artzechem, no, any animal that's found in your lands, not referring to Eretz Yisrael, any animal that's found in your lands, wherever you may be, one is not allowed to destroy or to mutilate, to remove the reproductive organs of that animal. Minayin ach ba'adam. This is talking about animals that can be brought as karbanos. How do you know this applies to human beings as well? Tamalayim uvachem, because the pasuk says uva'artzechem. So it implies uvachem, and even in you, kedivrei ben chakinoi. So it can't be done to human beings either. Minayin shanakevas besirus. Then the first Tana in the Braisa in the Sifra continues that even this pasuk, of course, is referring to male genitalia, reproductive organs. How do you know this applies to females as well? Tamulamar ki mashchasem bohem mum bum. The pasuk continues. Yes, it's true. The first pasuk is referring to males, but the second pasuk ki mashchasem bohem mum bum, you're destroying the men, preventing it from being able to multiply and reproduce. That applies to females as well.
Can you say it's an
Israel state of Kuru? We'll get to it soon. Good point. This is a distinct pasuk. This is a separate pasuk, a separate issue in the Torah. How does it relate to Purva? We'll have to explore that relationship. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bohem, Ein Nekevas Besirus. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. This pasuk is addressing the male species of animals, male human beings, and not addressing females at all. It's not what's being discussed by the pasuk. And the Vilna Gaon explains, as do many others, this is his comments on the Sifra, that the females are different because their reproductive organs are not external, they're internal. So Rabbi Yehuda is arguing that wouldn't render the animal a mum, you know, blemished, and that it couldn't be used as a carbon, which is the whole context of the pasuk in the first place. A female who has a mum bifnim, an internal mum or deformity or a blemish, is fit to be brought as a carbon. So this, since it could be used as a carbon, also would not be included in the prohibition of removing or damaging or destroying the reproductive organs. So that's what the Gro writes. Afuk in the keva. The serus will have mum la hakrava, the have mum shibaseser. It's internal, and therefore it's not included. It's not the same as destroying or mutilating the reproductive organs of the male. Yeah.
When we say behemoth chayav over, we're talking about different animals that can still be brought as carbonos. Even a dog would apply.
Yeah, even a dog.
Okay.
Even a gerbil, even a hamster, whatever, rat. All of these things. You cannot remove the reproductive organs of a human being, of even an animal that can be brought as a carbon. The Rabbi Yehuda, though, the impression you get from the Sifra, believes that this is prohibited when it comes to males, but he writes, Ein nekevas besirus. That's the language of the Sifra. Women are not included, which perhaps might even imply that it's permitted. Sounds like they're totally excluded. However, the Tosefta Masechtas Makos presents somewhat of a different formulation of the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, I remember Masari Zacharim Chayev, Masras nekevas potter. If you remove the reproductive organs of the female, it's pater. What does pater implies? Pater of a lesser. You're not liable, you know, kermalkis, but it's still aser midrabanim. Perhaps you're not including the Yisrael rice, it still will be aser midrabanim. So you get two different impressions, one from the Sifra, one from the Tosefta. The Rambam, Paskin's like Rabbi Yehuda, and he writes, Amasaris is in a keva, women are not included in this prohibition, bein ba'adam, bein b'shar minim, pater. So you're not liable, and no malchus, like it would be if you did so to a male, but pater implies pater aval aser. And that's how the Magen Mishnah interprets the position of the Rambam. Uperish Rabbeinu chiyuva hu deleka aval isura ika. It is in fact aser midrabanan. And that seems to be the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch as well. Shulchan Aruch writes over here in Evin Ezer, Simon Hay, Sifir Aleph, Asa Lahafsid, Avery Hazer, one is not allowed to destroy or to remove reproductive organs, Bein Ba'adam, whether of a human being, Bein Ba'hem Achai Ba'if, or any animal, this is prohibited. And then, we'll get to the middle in a second, then the Shulchan Aruch concludes on the second line, but Mesaris is a Nekeva, person who does so to the female species of animals, female human being, Bein Ba'adam, Bein B'Shamin, and Pater Avalasar. You're not passing like Rabbi Yehuda, seems, that it's you're not prohibited Midrei Rais, it would only be also Midrei Rabbanim. And that seems to be the position of Rav HaRishayim. However, the Bira HaGra, and that's it in Shulchan Aruch, suggests that perhaps the Shulchan Aruch is not passing like Rabbi Yehuda at all, rather it's passing like the Tana Kama, the first Tana in the Sifra, who held that woman, a female, woman and female of animal species are also included in this prohibition, even though it's internal. That's what the second pasuk. That's not the same as the male, but the pasuk concludes. You're destroying the species, preventing it from being able to reproduce. So the females are included as well. So then, why does the Shulchan Aruch say pater avalaser? You're not liable. So the Gras explains to Pirish to Ketana Kama. It's really holding the Ketana Kama. The women are included in the Yismin Dari Raisel. The Eimah Malkus. They're excluded from Malkus. It's not punishable. Capital punishment. They're not included in the language of the pasuk, which is forming it as loisase, which is what triggers the malchus, because the pasuk of arts come loisase is referring to destroying, removing male reproductive organs. The second pasuk, himash chasem bahem mumbam, you're destroying the species, or destroying the animal, mutilating the animal. That's referring to females as well, but there it's not forming it as loisase, so it doesn't trigger malchus. So women are included in Yismin Daraisa, but excluded from Malkus. That's how the Gra interprets the position of the Shulchan Aruch. The Taz goes to the other extreme. The Taz claims, no, that the Shulchan Aruch is passing Rabbi Yehuda, but not like the Magen Mishnah, who told us that women are excluded from the Issa Midaraisa, but they're included in the Issa of Sirus, Midarabanan, of removing or destroying the reproductive organs. Rather, they're excluded entirely. It's Heter Gomer. For this to be done, as the Sifra implied, Ein Nekevas Besirus. The Magen Mishnah is following the language of the Tosefta, Pater Avalaser. However, the Taz claims that we should pass like the Sifra, which implies, according to Yehuda, Ein Nekevas Besirus are totally excluded from this prohibition, Midrei Raisa and Midrei Rabbanan. Why does the Shulchan Aruch then say it's Aser to remove or to damage the reproductive organs of a female as well? That's because of Tzar Balei Chaim. Any person, certainly an animal, person causes them undue distress, is also because of Tzar Balei Chaim. You're not allowed to do that. So that's what the Taz writes. Ain't lama bo heter. Of course, women are excluded from this. Ain't serious when it came to smell heter. When the Brisa said, women are not excluded from serious and Brisa's mutter. But ain't lama bo heter. The Shulchan Aruch says it's still aser. That feel be behema aser mishum Tzar Balei Chaim. Even to do this to an animal would be also because of Tzar Balei Chaim. But that's the only concern with regards to females. So we have three opinions here about with regards to the Isser of Sirus, one of course is not allowed to damage or remove the reproductive organs of a male, animal, human being. But the woman, there are three opinions. The Vilna Gaon, Paskin, like the Tana Kama, the women are included in this prohibition based on the second pasuk, Kimash Chasem Bahem Mum Bam. So it's awesome in the Raisa, but there's no Malkus because it's not formulated as a loisese. The opinion of Rav HaRishayim, the Magen Mishnah seems to be the opinion of Shulchan Aruch, is that women are included, are excluded from the prohibition because their reproductive organs are not the same as the male. Their males are external, women are internal, wouldn't be a moon for a carbon, therefore they're excluded from this prohibition, removing or damaging reproductive organs as well. But it's still awesome in the Rabbanan. And the Taz, who believes that, no, we pass on Grip Yehuda, the women are excluded from this prohibition, Beimid Doiraisa, Beimid Doiraban, the only reason you can't do it is the Shulchan Aruch says it's Aser, is because of Tzar Balei Chaim, causing unnecessary distress to the animal. So it would be a big difference, Halach Lamais, of course. According to the Taz, the only issue is Tzar Balei Chaim, so as long as it's being done for a constructive purpose and reason, it's allowed. Just like we know, one is allowed to use animals as long as it's being done for a constructive purpose, not Tzar Balei Chaim. So then it's permitted. So that would, according to the Taz, won't be allowed to remove the damage, the reproductive organs of an animal, certainly of a human being, as long as it's serving some constructive purpose. However, according to Rav HaRishayim, and it seems to be the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, No, women are, it's not heterogamer, even according to Yehuda. Women are excluded from Issa Midoraisa of Sirus, because it's internal, not external, but it's still also Midorabanan. So then it would carry the weight of an Issa Midorabanan. The Issa Midorabanan are typically only Mutter, and it's not Mutter just because it's for a constructive purpose, that's not enough to be Mutter and Issa Midorabanan, but it would be Mutter if we're dealing with a person who's suffering. Person is a chalash, even if they're not in mortal danger. A chalash sheyesh bo sakana, it's a chalash she'ein bo sakana, sick, suffering. Whether, nafa lemishkav, they've fallen down to bed, not literally or figuratively, meaning they can't do what they normally would do, which is the definition of a chalash she'ein bo sakana, not able to do that which they would like to do, they normally do. So they're suffering, they're sick, in pain. Life's not going. Not feeling well enough to do that which they would normally do. So then, be able to violate an issur midrabbanan. But anything short of that would be prohibited. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, it should be enough if a person is a chayav shein bo sakana. According to the Vilna Gaon, the pasuk like the Tana Kama, women are included in Sirus even though it's internal. So yes, there's no malchus. It's not the same as the male, which is external, which is malchus. Here, there's no malchus, but it's still included in the issur of Sirus midrayraisa. Of Kimash Kasem Bohem Mumbam, albeit from a different pasuk, second pasuk, but they are included in order to remove or to damage reproductive organs of a female would have to be either animal, of course, human being, would have to be Sakonis Nefoshis, have to be mortal danger in order to allow it. So it's a big nafgamina comes up Lemaisa. But let's say most posts can conclude that we should lechatchila be machmir for the gra. But if that's not possible, we could be meikol and rely on the Rav HaRishayim, the Shulchan Aruch, that it's an issur midrabbanan, if a person dealing with a chalash she'ein bo sakana could be allowed. So for example, Rav Moshe writes in the Igros Moshe, in the first volume of Ibn Ezer, Rav Moshe is very machmer about this. He claims we should be machmer like the Gra, that we're dealing with an issur midrabbanan to remove or to damage the reproductive organs of a female. Human being, we're dealing with Nisim Midoraisa, and have to be Sakonis Nefoshis. Anything short of that, we can't be Mekel. But later on, in the Igros Moshe, in Chelek Dalet of Ibn Ezer, Moshe clarifies his position further, which is more in line with the other Poskim, with Tzitz Eliezer and Rav Adi Yosef. Their position was that if a woman, let's say, is a common scenario, not common, but not uncommon, a woman, let's say, will be dangerous for her to have children. Had a few children already, but the doctor said you can't have any more. It'd be too dangerous for her to carry the child. Or, so common also, not uncommon, a woman has some sort of mental illness where the doctor feels it could be dangerous for her to become pregnant. It could be severe postpartum depression or some other situation. And so we would say, okay, you can become pregnant to practice contraception, but there might be that all of the methods of contraception don't work for her. She continually bleeds or whatever, but she'll never be mutter to her husband. They're not effective for her. They're not available to her. So can, in such a situation, with there are other methods, she can't become pregnant, sakonis nefoshis, but she can practice contraception. The other methods of contraception won't work for her in order to be permitted to her husband. So can we allow, in such a situation, to remove the reproductive organs with whatever the methods are available to the doctor? Hysterectomy, tubal ligation, endometrial ablation. There are many ways of it can be removed or damaged and such that she won't be able to have a child. Can it be permitted there? So Rav Moshe says, and Titzelias as well, in such a situation it can be allowed. But even though it's not medically required in order to save her life to do this, but she'll be she'll suffer tremendously by not being able to be permitted to her husband. So we would say other methods of contraception are available. She should use them. But if they're not, the other methods of contraception will raise other issues, so then perhaps under that kind of situation it can be permitted. We'll get to in a second, a little bit later, it would be always best to use a Nafri doctor, but we'll explain that further in a second. Yeah.
What if there is a case where the doctors say it's dangerous for her to have more kids?
Yeah.
And then there's a reason that there's a concern for an additional potential concern for life, but there's not an immediate concern for life right now. Meaning,
it's a complicated situation you're describing.
Right.
Right. So a lot of these situations are not don't necessarily fit to this mold. This is the standard question they're all dealing with, and then there's permutations, which, you know, the details have to be worked out. Yeah.
What if the male, you know, takes something?
We'll get to it in a second. Yeah, yeah, very good. But since Rav Moshe continues, though, and he writes, and this is also a common shaila, is that even according to the Vilna Gaon that we're dealing with in Issa Midei Rais here, we should pass back to Tanakamo. There's still no Malkus, because it's not derived from the Pasuk of Ha'aretzachem Loisasu, it's derived from the Pasuk, Kimosh Chasem Bohem Mumbam, you're destroying the species. Therefore, it can't be allowed. That's why there's no Malkus, it's derived from a somewhat different Pasuk. So Moshe claims for that same reason, not all of the particulars of the Issa of Sirus that apply to males carry over to females as well. So for example, the Gemara tells us over here, Masech the Shabbos, over here, Ois Hei, Gemara Shabbos Kofiyutam Abayz, which we'll read the whole thing in a second, but just skipping to the third line, the Gemara says, V'amar Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, HaKol Moedim, everyone agrees, B'Mesares, Acha Mesares, Shu Chayiv. Let's say a person, removes one of the reproductive organs. That doesn't mean, or let's say one of them has already been removed, that's not, doesn't grant us permission to remove the other reproductive organs. There's Mesares, Acha Mesares. Even though the person is sterile, not able to reproduce already, you still can't remove a second time more of the reproductive organs. Shenema, because the Pasuk says, Uma'uch v'chasutz v'nasuk v'charutz. If the genitalia of the male have become bruised or crushed or cut off or pulled off, all of these are included. Why does the Torah have to give so many examples? We got it. It's pretty graphic. So we could extrapolate one from the other. You know, if cut off or pulled off, what's the difference? You can't do one after the other, even if one is already, part of it has been pulled off, you can't cut off the rest. There's a sirus, achar sirus. But that's derived from the first pasuk, from pasuk chavdalud. Uma'ok v'chasutz v'nasuk v'charutz loisak, kri luva'artzachem loisasu. So that clearly applies to the male. Says Rav Moshe, that would not extend to the pasuk kimosh chasem bohem mumbam. That doesn't have that necessarily that implication. So vis-a-vis females, Rav Moshe claims that this detail would not apply. So let's say a doctor is going in under the circumstances we described already, with some of the poskim are lenient, and they're going to perform a hysterectomy, which means removing the uterus. Can they remove the ovaries and fallopian tubes at the same time as well? Because there's cancer, other kind of reasons they might want to do that. So is that permitted? Or is that, we have to remove one of them, but do we have to remove everything? Is that sirus achar sirus? So Moshe claims that would be permitted by a woman. They're by a woman, which is derived from the, even according to the Vilna Gaon, that it's asa midaraisa, we can be b'shasat chak b'somik on those who hold it's only midarabanan, be mako for a woman who's in distress or suffering. But even according to those who hold the Tzatzim Midei Raisa, it's derived from a separate pasuk. Yimash Chad Sebehem Bumam, so Sirus Achar Sirus wouldn't necessarily apply. Look back at that Gemara. The Gemara tells us the following situation. We see the whole Gemara Masech the Shabbos, because it's going to present us with an issue that needs to be resolved. The Gemara says Masech the Shabbos over there, or it says, Yarkoina. Yarkoina, related to the word Yaroik, which means that a person is yellowish, meaning he's jaundiced. But Shemar assumed it was not a Sakanas Nefashos. Of course, it is drawn that it is a Sakanas Nefashos, but this is not someone who is Sakanas Nefashos, but someone who has some sort of ailment. How can you heal it? So, Tarin B'Shichra Umeyaker. You soak certain ingredients in beer, and you give it to him as a remedy. But the side effect was Umeyaker, becomes sterile. So this medication or therapy induced sterility. Or induce the ability, not to be able to reproduce. So, umishari. So the Gemara says, this was the remedy that they recommended. But how is this allowed? Vatajim, you're not in the serious bottom. Shuasar. You're not allowed to do this. Tamalon, va'artzachem, loisasu, bachem, loisasu, va'artzachem, concludes with chem, bachem. You're not allowed to do this in yourself. You're not allowed to do this to a human being. To remove the reproductive organs. How is this allowed? So, divrei Rav Chanina. Hanimili has become a chavin. So Gemara first suggests, you're doing it here for medicinal reasons. You're not doing it in order to induce sterility. That's not your intention. So maybe over here it's allowed. It's a secondary unintended consequence. Maybe it's allowed. How come Yatzmahu? So Gemara brings the support for that. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Haroitzu Shisaris Tarnagol, a person who wants to be Mesaris a Tarnagol, sterilize the tarnagol. Yito karbalosoi. He should remove the crown on top. The red thing on top. Umistaris meyelov. It'll become a saris. And that's allowed. So too over here. Vamravashi, no, that's different. There's not that you're causing sterility is allowed. You're not sterilizing the animal at all. Ha-ha-ma-ravashi, Ramas Rucha Hutanakitale. When you remove the crown, it loses its confidence. It's become socially isolated. That's why no one wants to mate with this rooster. Or the rooster doesn't want to mate. He's uncomfortable. He's self-conscious. But it has nothing to do with the fact that you tampered with the reproductive organs or rendered him sterile in any way. The rooster is intact. That's no different than taking the rooster and putting it in the cage. That, of course, is not going to violate the Isser of Seers. So says the Gemara, who then is taking this remedy of the Yarkona, which has the unfortunate side effect of inducing sterility? El Bissaris, we're talking about a person who's already a Saris. He's already sterile. So the Gemara says, so what? And you can't do Seers Achar Seers. It's also also. The Gemara we already saw. So who is taking this remedy? Who's benefiting from the remedy? So look at the end of the fourth line. The Gemara says, El B'Isha. Must be, we're talking about a woman. And it's mutter for a woman to use this kind of remedy. So Mar asks, what about according to Rabbi Yochanan Amar Shneim who Omer Vayvarach some of the Kima Yom and Puruvu? What about according to Rabbi Yochanan Mereika that holds the women are obligated in Puruvu as well? So how can she drink this Kaisho Ikrim, this medication that will cause it to become an akar, cause it to become sterile? How can she drink it? She's chayv in Puruvu. Ma'ika lomeimar. So says, okay, we're talking about a woman who's zekena. She's past her, you know, years where she could reproduce. Inami bakara, a woman who's herself is sterile. So you see, sirus achar sirus by woman, first of all, doesn't apply. That's where Maisha brings support from this Gemara. She's already an akara. She's an akara, so there's no problem of being misaris. But what emerges from this Gemara? Who's allowed to take a medication that induces sterility? Is a man? No. A kaishalikim? No. What about a female? Yes. The problem is, and look over here, that's quoted Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says over here, same Simon Hey, Nevin Ezra, Sif Yud Beis, right after the Isser of Sirius, we just read it. Look back at his Gimel. Hamasaris is in a keva, Bisharminim, I'm sorry, Masaris is in a keva, Bein Ba'adam, Bein Bisharminim, Patel Avalasar, and all his Dalit. It's prohibited to be Masaris, a woman, to remove a reproductive organ. So we said, maybe it's Dereisa, maybe it's Durabanan, whatever. It's Asr though. The Shulchan Aruch writes in the very next sif, Hamashka Kaisho Ikrim La Adam Wal Mashab Ale Chayim Kedei the Sarsoi, a person who gives a Kaisho Ikrim to a male in order to render him impotent, or even the Beis Shmuel, and even if it's not your intention, the Gemara said, but it's inevitably going to happen, it's a psik reshe that's going to happen, inevitable outcome, that's also. What about a woman? Isha Mutaris Lishtoi Sikrim. She can take medication even though it will render her unable to have children. She can take such a medication. It's permitted. How can it be permitted? Why is it permitted? And it's not only the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Rabbi said. Look at the Gemara Masechta Yevamos. The Gemara quotes Masechta Yevamos, Yehuda de Bisu de Reb Chiya. Yehudis, the daughter of Reb Chiya, Havis lo tzar leida. She had difficulty during childbirth. So Shanoi Mana, she changed her clothing. Va'asi kamed Reb Chiya. She came before Reb Chiya, that's her father. Amra, she asked anonymously. Asked the rabbi, she submitted a question. Is this a mifkada piri v'rivya or not? A woman included in piri v'rivya? Amala loy. No. We paskin, prove vum, luas arts, v'kivshua, the pasuk says, you should be fruitful, multiply, conquer the land. Women are lav b'nei kibush ninhu. They're not conquerors. So they're excluded from Puruvu. A woman has an obligation to help her husband fulfill Puruvu. As the Ron writes in the second parish, Mesechta Kiddushin, yes. But she herself is not obligated. So Azla Ashtia Samada Krasa. She went and she drank medication. Huh? Yeah. That rendered her unable to have children. The Sophie Gloy Milsa, the matter, she did this without telling her husband. The Sophie Gloy Milsa, the matter became revealed to her husband. He said, you know, I really would have liked to have one more child. Yeah. But it sounds like from the Gemara that she didn't violate an Isser. One, she's not obligated to prove who. It's mutter for her to drink a kosher milk. That's what the Shulchan Aruch said, but the Shulchan Aruch just told us when it's not allowed to remove the damaged reproductive organs of a woman. When the Dei Raisa, the Rabbanon, how is this allowed? So Beis Shmuel explains over here in the third line of Ayis Vav. Mashma feel below tzlar klal mutter. It's permitted for a woman to drink a kosher ikrim, even if she doesn't have tzal leda. Shulchan Aruch says ishu mutar klishta ikrim. Umashma kozvah sifar kaidem. That was what Shulchan Aruch said a second ago, that you can't be masaris a woman, you can't remove the organs. Ha masaris is in the cave of padova oster hainu siris mamaisa. You can't remove a damaged reproductive organs. That's what's prohibited either midai rais midai rabbanon. However, the drink of kai shalikrim, at least for a woman, it sounds like it's just a concern of peru urvu. That she's, we possibly women are not obligated in peru urvu, but she has an obligation to help her husband fulfill the mitzvah of peru urvu whenever. Just like it is also, the Sefer Charedim writes, Klal Yisrael is a mitzvah to help the Kohanim fulfill their mitzvah of Kosev Aruch was B'nai Yisrael. So there's a mitzvah upon Yisraelim to receive the brach of the Kohanim, because Kohanim have a mitzvah to bless Klal Yisrael. So Sefer Charedim writes, we have a mitzvah to be participants to help the Kohanim fulfill their mitzvah. So women also, she's not included in Purvu. The Ran writes, Mesechus Kiddushin, she's an obligation to help her husband fulfill his obligation of Purvu. So, assuming though they fulfilled Puruvu already, and you know the husband agrees, and you know taking the Puruvu considerations off the table, assuming it's permitted for them, you know to enter this kind of situation, it wouldn't be a violation of Sirus for a woman to drink a kosher liquor. Yeah,
I thought violating indirect Isser is a question of whether the Isser was directed to Rabbanan. I thought if you're indirectly violating Isser that's direct, it's still not okay. But if it's Rabbanan, that's fine. Is that true?
You're saying a psikreisha and a derabanan.
Yeah.
Some hold like that. It's a big machlekes. It's a big machlekes.
Psikreisha and derabanan for sure. Everyone says no.
Yes.
Not, no
yes.
Yeah. But you're saying derabanan, not everyone says it's good.
Not everyone. It's a big machlekes. Some say yes. Some say yes. Trumas hadeshen.
A psikreisha and derabanan. Then it comes down to whether you believe that this whole concept, this whole iser is.
But she's doing it to be masaris herself. Nonetheless, it's allowed. I mean, that's her intention. You're talking about something that's.
Well, I thought the visual case in the Gemara was.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. It was therapeutic. Yeah.
I just wanted to clarify. All these cases are where there's there's no
sakana
here. That's why.
If we're dealing with a case where medically it's required to do this, of course,
okay.
Goes without saying, it's not one of the gimel averus hachamuros. Doesn't fit into gilui arayos in any way. It's not certainly not yahari vel yavor.
Right.
But it does come into certain situations we mentioned before where it's not medically required for her to have, you know. Not, if a woman's constantly bleeding, so in order to stem the bleeding, sometimes you have to remove the uterus. We're not discussing, you know, otherwise she'll bleed out. That's not what we're discussing. We're discussing she can't become pregnant, and the other methods of contraception won't work. Okay, so now we're dealing with a woman who's suffering, she won't be able to be with her husband, but she's not in a life-threatening situation. But even in life-threatening situations, we'll see in a second, we'll get to 1 second, there might be options of treatments, and you would want to avoid as many serum as possible, so it's important to know what is included in serum and what's not, to know, be able to weigh options against one another, if you follow what I'm saying, which we'll get to in a second. So by a woman, it seems that kosher ikrim is permitted. The only yisim derais of serus, or yisim derabanan of serus, as it relates to women, is to remove or damage reproductive organs themselves, but not to to you know drink a medication which will, bring about a situation of where she won't be able to have children, but it won't. It will induce sterility, perhaps, but it won't. Damage or remove the reproductive organs themselves. What about a man? What about a man to drink a kosher ikrim? So the Gemara says that's prohibited. So, but look in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says hamashka kosher ikrim laadam on the shabbat lechayim kidei lesarsoi. And it says that if you do it in order to sterilize the man, the Beis Shmuel adds, even if that's not your intention is therapeutic, but it's an unintended, inevitable result of what will take, you know, your actions, it's also prohibited. That might imply, as Binyam just mentioned, that we're dealing with an Issa Midrei Raisa for a man to drink a kosher ikrim. If we'd be dealing with an Issa Midrei Rabbanan, maybe if it's an unintended result, even if it's inevitable, it might be allowed. Segregation of the Rabbanan, some are lenient. So perhaps the implication of Shulchan Aruch is we're dealing with an Issa Midrei Raisa, but then the Shulchan Aruch continues, Ve'ein Loiken Alav. Even though you do get Malchus if you remove or sterilize a man, remove the reproductive organs, here there is no Malchus. That might imply that we're only dealing with an Issa Midrei Rabbanan, That's what the Minchas Chinuch asks in the Shulchan Aruch. Why is there no Malchus? Must be all we're dealing with is an Issa Midrabanan. Either way, whether we're dealing with an Issa Midrash, an Issa Midrabanan, and drinking a Kosher Likrim, if we're dealing with, it really comes up, if we're only dealing with an Issa Midrabanan, which sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch, one could argue, even if it's unintended and inevitable, it's still Aser, even if what we're dealing with is an Issa Midrabanan. But from the fact that Shulchan Aruch says, in Loikanov, that seems to imply with dealing with an Issa Midrabanan. But there's two ways of understanding this. One could have understood this Issa Midrabanan, huh?
I think you never get Malchus for misincreation.
Never Malchus, yeah. So
we ain't looked at, because it's...
It would be, but he says, even if you did a Kedei L'Sarsa,
oh, okay, so
no Malchus, yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. But either way, even if drinking a kosher liquor, let's assume the Issa Midrabanan of Sirus is limited to removing or damaging the reproductive organs themselves, not by taking medication or therapy or a kosher ikrim, which induces the inability to have children, like by women. So, but are we dealing with an Issa Midrabanan because it will prevent the man from fulfilling puruvu, and even if he's already fulfilled puruvu, he shouldn't take a medication that prevents him from being able to father more children? But it's pruvu oriented, or is this related to even though it's not sirus deraisa, maybe this is like a kind of sirus derabanan, at least for males. Even though it doesn't extend to women, that's perhaps because the whole issue of sirus by women is only derabanan. But maybe to drink a kosher liquor would be sirus for men derabanan. So the Ritva seems to have understood that this issue, at least for men, of drinking kosher liquor is not related to sirus at all, but rather it's motivated by pruvu. Because the Ritva writes from Sefer Yevamos over here, Samuel Kimmel and Beis Birka Yosef quotes in the Shulchan Aruch that he says, "Va'asa la'adam lishtoy shum davish yakreyo kdei lasuk b'toyra." You can't drink a kosher ikrim in order to be able to focus on Talmud Torah. "Aval lavatam imenu tava v'hiru shari." If it's in order to remove distractions of hiru and tava, it can be allowed. Then he continues, "The kaitchum adam shem rabenu agadol shem ki imitzvah peruvu." But let's say you already fulfilled peruvu. He now wants to focus on Talmud Torah. See, allows it for someone who fulfilled Puruvu. That clearly indicates that these Midrabanan drinking a kosher liquor is motivated by Puruvu considerations. Obviously, it's not halacha l'maaseh, we'd have many Puruvu considerations in practical sense, but this indicates that's how the Ritva understood it. However, one could have understood, and many disagree with this Ritva, it's not mutter in that situation. They understood that this Iser of drinking a kosher ikrim is not because of pruvu motivations, it's rather, even though that's might how it's understood by women, but it, that's why it's permitted by women, because there's no sirus, but many have understood that at least by men, where sirus certainly is deraisa, so a kosher ikrim is a kind of sirus derabanan. So taking medication that induces sterility would be also for men midrabanan, not because of pruvu considerations, it's kind of a sirus derabanan. Deraisa is to remove and damage reproductive organs, and take a medication that that disables the reproductive organs would also be sirus derabanan. However, Moshe writes in Igros Moshe that oftentimes in dealing with different medical situations, it's recommended that a man take a certain medication that induces sterility, inability to have children, or even to engage in tashmish. So Rav Moshe was asked whether or not that's serious. Now, of course, in those situations, you're dealing with pikuach nefesh. But oftentimes, there's different options of therapies that you have, and you want to know what are the isurim that are involved in each course of therapy in order to be able to weigh one option against the other. So Rav Moshe claims that even though kosher ikrim is prohibited for a man to take, that's only even if it is sirus derabanan. Sorry, if it's pikuach nefesh consideration is a whole different understanding. But even if it is sirus derabanan, it can't be worse than sirus itself. Sirus deraisa is only if you remove or damage reproductive organs themselves. Let's say a person takes medication that doesn't disable the reproductive organs themselves; it suppresses a hormone, and therefore the reproductive organs aren't triggered, in the normal way, which is how many of these medications do work, is it's hormone suppressant. So, if it doesn't address the disabled reproductive organs themselves, if we know worse than serious deraisa, this cannot be a violation of serious derabanan. It's tangential to reproductive organs. So, therefore, Moshe claims that would not be included in the issa serious to begin with. to take these kinds of medications, aside from the pikuach nefesh considerations. And then Ramosha continues that many of these medications, when you stop the course of treatment, so the organs, my understanding is that it depends, you know, on the patient and the age and the other factors, but certainly it can come back when you're done. If you stop taking the medication, it will return. So Ramosha claims something, if a person takes medication that temporarily inhibits their ability to have children, but not it will return by itself. Let's say a woman takes a contraceptive pill, but it will return by itself when she stops taking it, so have the ability to have children. That's not kesher likrim in the first place. So too, Rav Moshe claimed that this is not, would not be, if it could return on its own, would not be included in Issur Sirus to begin with. Rav Moshe, though, does throw in that this is not necessarily a reason to be lenient to allow a tubal ligation, which perhaps you can have a surgery to restore. This is, Rav Moshe says, if it will return on its own when you stop taking the medication, okay, that's temporary serious, which is not included in the Issur of serious. But if you need a surgery to restore her ability to have children, that would be, Rav Moshe thinks that would be serious. Titz Eliezer, was of course the Pesach in the Shari Tzedek Hospital of Waldenburg, suggests, he goes with Rav Moshe's kind of a svara, but then he suggests maybe this of serious is only if a person removes or damages the reproductive organs in such a way that they can never be restored even with surgery. But maybe if it could be restored with surgery, also would only be called temporary serious and would not be included in the Isser to begin with. But he's not willing to be made like that, for no reason, but in the situations that we mentioned when serous can be allowed, let's say a hysterectomy can be allowed, or you have the option of a tubal ligation, so maybe he prefers the tubal ligation where you have at least the argument that seems to be restored later on with a secondary surgery, maybe that's the preferable. We should prefer that option. The issur of serous, though, going all the way back to where we began, the issur of serous applies to a Jew, certainly, is not allowed to be Masaris anything or anybody. Right? They're not allowed to be Masaris any animal, certainly any human being, even if that human being is not Jewish, of course. It applies to all human beings, not limited to Jews. But what about non-Jews? Are non-Jews allowed to perform Sirus?
Oh, what did they do? Is that one of the Shabbos
Mitzvot? Really? So it seems to be a machlekes hatanor. Not that too many non-Jews are asking shilas, but it seems to be, we're going to see, is relevant to whether or not we can ask them to do it on our behalf. Are non-Jews included in the Isser of Sirus? So that's a machlekes tanorim. The first, over here, the Masechta Sanhedrin, the Bava Meralev, the Brisa tells us, Tanor Rabbanon, Shabbos Mitzvot, and Tavim B'nei Noach, and the Tanor lists the seven mitzvot that we're familiar with. Then the Gemara quotes in the second line, Rechanina ben Gamliel, no, they're excluded also. An eighth, they're not allowed to drink dam and achai. Then Rav Chidka claims, Omer afal asirus, that Bnei Noach are excluded even from perform sterilizations.
So
not allowed to perform sirus, neutering or spaying, or certainly sterilizing a human being. This Bnei Noach are not allowed to do this. The Tanit Bei Menashe, Sheva Mitzvah Testavu Bnei Noach, Avoy the Zara is a different list. Avoy the Zara, Gili Arai, Shrikhus Damim, Gezo, Evim, and Achai, Sirus, and Kelayim. Different list. Sirus is included. How do we paskin? This Machlekes. Machlekes, we showed him how to paskin. Is Sirus one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach? I don't know why I never made it into, conversationally. It's not that we don't normally think of it as one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, but it's a Machlekes, we showed him. Machlekes had a paskin, as we'll see, it's 2 days in the Shulchan Aruch. We'll get to it in a second. However, even if Bnei Noach are not included, they're permitted to do it, can a Bnei Noach do it for me on my behalf? So that might run into another concern, and that is that of Amir L'Nachri. Just like on Shabbos, I'm not allowed to ask Nachri to turn on a light for me, can I ask Nachri to violate another Isur in the Torah, which he's permitted to do, but I'm not. Can he do it on my behalf? Does Amir L'Nachri apply to all Isur in the Torah or just to Shabbos? So that's a shayla that the Gemara raised in Bava Metzia and Daftali Merav. Says the Gemara, Yiboy Elohu, Ma'u sheyomer adam l'nachri chasoyim parasi v'doishba. Can I say to a nachri, muzzle my animal and thresh with it? Because that's a Isur in the Torah of Pasuk Parashas Kisei, l'sachsum shor v'dishoy. You're not allowed to muzzle the animal while it's grazing in the field. Can I ask a nachri to do it for me? Mi amrinon, Shabbos. When is Amir Onach Yasser? That's with regards to Shabbos, the Isser Skila. Abachasimer, the Isser Lav Loi. Maybe with regards to Leisach Mishor B'Disha, there's no Isser. Dilma Loishna. Or maybe there's no difference. That just like Amir Onach Yasser on Shabbos, it's also with regards to all these Surim in the Torah. The Gemara leaves it off as an open question. Mishorin have a machlekes, or should we be machmer, should we make on? We're machmer on this Shaila. That Amir Onachmi applies to all the Surim in the Torah. But in the course of that discussion, Gemara brings up the following Shaila. Tashma, the Shluchei Lei Lavua de Shmuel, they sent a Shaila from Eretz Yisrael to the father of Shmuel. Halan Turi de Ganvin, Armoi. There were certain animals that belonged to Jews that were being stolen by the Arameans. By going. Umegan Chenyasoi. They were sterilizing them, neutering and spading them. Mahu. Can we keep the animal? Or maybe it's an Isav Amir Wanachri. Shalchu harama is avibuhu. This is clearly a ruse. Really? They just happen to steal your animals and do you the favor of neutering and spaying the animal and returning it to you? That was a very interesting ganav. I mean, obviously, this is harama. So, arumeh alaihu v'yizdavim. We penalize you and you have to sell. You are making a ruse? We'll make a ruse. You want? We can play crooked. We can play crooked. Dori Kesh of Salto. Fine. We will make a penalty. You have to sell the animal. That's what the father Shmuel responds. Don't you see? Amir Onachri applies to all these human in the Torah, not just to Shabbos. It applies to Sirus as well. So Amar Papi Bnei Marava. No. When they sent the Shaila, they weren't asking Amir Onachri Shaila. Sabilok Rav Chidka. They were asking, can we let the Goyim do this? When they themselves are prohibited from sterilizing animals, they can't do this. They're prohibited from doing it. I'm enabling them, I'm, you know, assisting them, facilitating their performance of an avera. I can't let them do this. We have to stop them. So that's what they were motivated by. Either way, what emerges from the Gemara is you can't have a nachri sterilize an animal for you on your behalf for one of two reasons. Either because Amiru Nachri, even if he's not chayev, I am, and I can't ask him to do it for me, and I'm not going to apply to the Yisum of the Torah, or because he himself is prohibited from doing this. And I, if I give it to him to do it for me, I'll be over on the Fnei Evil Asitei Meshul. So look over here in the Shulchan Aruch, again, Sim and Hay and Evin Ezer, also, Loim Aloivi Kechavim Masarish Behem Shalonu. You cannot ask an Achri to spay or neuter an animal on our behalf. The Imlakha Hu Me'atzmai V'sirsa Mutar. If he did it all by himself, that's fine. But in Harem Yisrael B'davar, this is a ruse. No, Kain Samaisa, we penalize you, and the Shulchan Aruch continues in Bayechon Yisrael Acher. You have to sell it to somebody else. Yeah.
Why is it mutter if he's chayav himself?
It's mutter if I walk into a pet store and buy an animal that was already mesuras, or he takes my animals.
It's mutter for you, but it's, he's still chayav.
Now let's say he's a do-gooder. And he really wants, genuinely, to spay and neuter the animals. Not for me. He is a... even though the animal rights people, I think, are opposed to it. But let's say he wants to do it for himself. I don't know. He's an animal. I don't know why.
Is he chayav himself, though?
Yeah, but he does it. Okay. I didn't facilitate him doing it. I didn't ask him to do it. He did it. Okay. Fine, you can keep the animal. Mutter means you can keep the animal. Fine, you can keep it. If you ask him to do it, you got to sell it. You can sell it to another Jew, but you got to sell it. But you certainly can't ask him to do it because of Amir Onachri. Fine, so I can't ask him to do it when I own it. What about to sell it to him? I don't know. He plans on doing it. Says the Rambam, I can sell it to him even though I know he's going to do it. So I'm facilitating an avera. It's not lifnei evil or sitei michshol. This opinion, the Rambam paskins, b'nei noyach are mutter besirus. Like that Tana in the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin. But, says the Rambam, v'yesh oisrim. There are those who say you cannot even sell it to him, even though he's going to do Sirus for himself, because it's lifnei evil leisitei michshel. We paskin that it's prohibited for bnei noach to sterilize animals, and therefore it's lifnei evil leisitei michshel to give it to him. So it's two opinions here in the Ramah. The Beis Shmuel says we should be machmir on this. Quotes of Machlekes Rishonim, we should be machmir. So you cannot give it to him. Not only cannot ask him to do it on my behalf. That's also because I'm Yom Nachri, and it's also if I ask him to do it on my behalf, because of what's naive, I can't even sell it to him if I know he's going to do it. What if though I sell it to him, says the Rambam, he's not going to sterilize it himself, he's going to bring it to a goyish, a veterinarian, another guy. Then it's allowed. Why is it allowed there? So that's allowed based on a rush. In Masechtos Avodah Zarah, where the Gemara says, even though with Ne'iva L'Shita Mishal clearly applies to Nachman, one is not allowed to give Avram and Achai to a Ben Noach. But the Gemara says, Lifnei de Lifnei is allowed. If let's say you have a Jewish distributor of Avram and Achai, and there's a retailer, a non-Jewish retailer, wants to buy Avram and Achai, not to eat himself, but to sell to non-Jewish customers. So the Gemara says, Lifnei de Lifnei, if it's twice removed, I'm not facilitating the Avera directly, I'm facilitating the retailer who's then going to facilitate the Avera, that's allowed. Because since I'm indirect, you can't say it's as if I'm participating in the Avera, facilitating the Avera that took place, it's too far removed. So the Rosh says, Lifnei de Lifnei is allowed, at least with regards to Avdei Kachavim. With regards to a Jew, it's prohibited, even though I'm not contributing, I'm not participating in the Avera vicariously because I facilitated for you, but it's bad advice. I know a Jew in the end is going to get it, and I have to look out for him, you know, to that degree, they shouldn't even violate it, even though it's twice removed. That's a different part of the Isser of Lifnei Iver, like Sitei Mishal, the two parts. But either way, Lifnei to Lifnei doesn't apply, at least with regards to Avdei Kachavim. So therefore, with regards to Bnei Noach. So therefore, the Rama says, if you sell it to one non-Jew, who then is going to bring it to a non-Jewish veterinarian, that would be allowed. Now again, keep in mind, this is talking about where the non-Jew is keeping it. Oh. So what do we do about a Jewish pet owner? So I said, let him buy a already neutered pet. You can't. Everyone wants the puppy. No one wants to buy the already, and I think it's harder to buy. They don't sell. I looked into it. They don't sell. Just by doing anecdotal research, they don't sell neutered pets. If they would, it would help our situation. But what do you do? Jewish wants to be a pet owner, and they recommend that you neuter the pets, reduce aggression or whatever. Obviously, the owner doesn't want, you know, litters of pets around. Is this allowed? Okay, what can you do to neuter the pet? What he cannot do is bring it to a veterinarian and ask him to neuter the pet on his behalf, even if it's a non-Jewish veterinarian. Amir Anachri, and it's with Ne'iva Lo Sitei Mishal, potentially. What perhaps he can do, what would be the best is, if there would be some sort of chemical concoction, you know, chemical medication that the animal could take, that would induce sterility. That would be the best. That's a Kaishal Ikrit. That's perhaps only, maybe Isir is only the Rabbanan, even by males, and by females it's Mutter. So it's a female animal, it's Mutter, and by male animal, maybe Isir the Rabbanan, but it might be because of Puruvu considerations, which clearly would not extend, right, to the animal. But if I don't know if there is such a medical, medication can be given to the animal. So what is the best available advice is to sell it to a non-Jew, like Mechiras Chametz, and have him bring it to a non-Jewish veterinarian. That's Lifnei, the Lifnei, twice removed, and then perhaps we can rely on the Ramah. Many are not happy because the Ramah is really not discussing that case. The Ramah is discussing a case where the Nachri is going to keep it. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch says, if we sense a Harama here, we penalize you with regards to this. So seriously, you have to sell the animal. So it's not the best, but that's the best available heter for those who are pet owners and they need to neuter the pet, is to sell it to a non-Jew, and the non-Jew will bring it to the non-Jewish veterinarian. Certainly, though, this limits Jews from being veterinarians if you have to perform these kinds of procedures, and even certain kinds of doctors can't perform these procedures under certain, under the right settings, it can be allowed. Certainly, under certain pikuach nefesh settings, or intense suffering settings, sometimes, depending on the procedure, if you're dealing with women and men is easy to their rights, and women to their abanon. But you have to be careful to negotiate this very, very important issue. Yeah.
Would this halacha also depend on the necessity of the pet?